I have to tell the people about the Patreon.
Yes, you do. Patreon.com/SMDB. SMDB, like so many damn books.
For just a dollar, you can join up and you get access to all the exclusive content that I record just for the Patreon. Also, you get to join the book club. Oh, there's so many damn books book club. It's been some of the best conversations I've had about books.
It really always sounds like a blast. I'll usually like come home and just hear like giggles coming from the library. So it's a great time. You should join.
And I would love to have more people join the fray.
You may or may not know that Christopher runs this whole show himself on the hosting side, on the technical side, everything. This is a one-man show, truly. He does it all. Support your boy, Christopher.
Even at the dollar level really helps. So join up. Patreon.com/SMDB. I'd love to have you.
Patreon.com/SMDB.
On with the show. Hello, folks. Welcome to So Many Damn Books, a blessing, a curse, a podcast. I'm Christopher, and I'm still open to hearing new ideas for a slogan for the show. If you've got one you want me to try, email me at somanydamnbooks@gmail.com. Let's play the theme.
So many,
so many,
so many damn books.
I'm in the damn library. I'm drinking seltzer with some cranberry juice and some of the herbal syrup left over from the episode with Alexandra Tanner. And I'm at a bit of a loss. I've been tossing books aside after 50 to 75 pages, and I can't even quite put into words what I'm looking for, so that probably doesn't help. This lack of decisiveness has left a hole in my schedule, so I thought I'd just go over what I have ended up finishing lately, and what I'm going to give a good chance to next. I'm still thinking about a book I read a couple months ago. It's called The Boys by Katie Hafner. And the idea is this couple, who is a pragmatic guy and his more free-spirited wife, they're trying to decide if they want kids. I mean, the beginning of their book is the sweet love story. A Furby is involved. They entwine their lives together, and then her very old cat dies, and it gets them thinking earnestly about starting their own family. And what they end up trying sounds kind of like fostering kids. It's two brothers from Russia, very picky eaters. But then it shifts. It's not a sinister shift. It's basically zany. But I can't really talk about it without spoiling it. The turn is so insane and out of left field that whether or not you like the book depends on whether or not you can get with that turn. And so I'm really fascinated by that fulcrum, that tide turning moment, where an author has been giving you all the information you need and then pulling the rug out from under you. Even so, I think it works best when you're really closely connected to one character, and then another character sheds light on what everyone else is seeing when they experience that character from their point of view. It can happen in little ways. Like, I was talking about this with Alexandra Tanner with her novel Worry, where Jules' anxiety and behavior is constantly being reevaluated by her sister Poppy and vice versa. And then, you know, there's the big famous twists like Gone Girls, which I'm okay spoiling here, but maybe you want to skip forward a bit if you don't want it spoiled. But when that voice shift hits and the missing woman, who we are truly expecting to have been killed by her husband, is in fact alive and orchestrated it and speaking to us now, gives me chills to think about that. And actually, we had a great time talking about Jennifer Croft's The Extinction of Irina Ray in the book club last night, which is a novel that consists of basically constant rug pulls. I think I've mentioned it here already, but it's about a bunch of translators that head to a Polish forest to translate the latest novel by the renowned author that lives there, only for that author to disappear 2 days into them being there. And you realize over and over that the main character has a major blind spot for the reality of the author that she translates. And it's one of the most entertaining aspects of the book. But, you know, better scholars than me have done inquiries about how twists can fail. But I've found it's usually too little information, too much blank space left around the twist to make it work. Basically, it asks too much of the reader to get to the twist, and it holds back too much in service because of it. And if anything, bad twists make the books that do pull it off, like The Boys, even more special. I have really been having trouble getting past the beginnings of books, though. I mean, if it hadn't been for book club, I wouldn't have gotten past the first 50 pages of Irina Ray. And that's a bummer, because I loved that reading experience. And I wasn't enjoying the first 50 pages of Ann Patchett's new novel, Tom Lake. But then I switched over into the audiobook, which is read by Meryl Streep, and the whole thing just opened up. Although that could be Meryl Streep's doing. But yeah, that doesn't mean I am not filled with optimism, which basically equates to it's time for what did you buy? Back when I had Amy Kurzweil on the show to talk her graphic novel Artificial, she brought Jason Lutz's Berlin. And I loved both so much, I asked for you listeners to send in graphic novel suggestions. And one listener, Kip, went above and beyond with a list I've been pulling from since last year. I always break through a reading logjam with comics, so I'm really excited to jump into Shubik Lubik by Dina Mohammed, which Kip pitched as a brilliant feminist examination of life in modern Egypt, but with the added complication of wishes being real and part of a capitalist system. And that sounds amazing. My hold from the library also came in on Headlopper by Andrew McLean, which Kip says is his favorite colorful, vivid fantasy series with surprising depth. The art is very stylistically its own thing, which makes me happy, and I can't wait to dig into that. I think those things will sort of get me over the hump and get me back into the groove. What else? Oh, long-time listeners will know that Uncanny Situation with an Animal is a micro-genre favorite of mine. So I'm excited about this Julia Phillips novel that just came in. It's coming out in June. It's called Bear. And it's about two sisters that start dealing with a bear on their island off the coast of Washington. I already had such a good time reading the last novel about two sisters, you know? So hopes are high here as well. And then a couple books have come in from previous guests, which makes me really happy. Those are leaping from my stack to be read. I have the audiobook for Real Americans by Rachel Kong, and you know, the reading experience of Goodbye Vitamin is still really fresh in my mind. It was so good. And it's this small, compact, contained, funny novel. So, and this one is like a big, stretched out family epic. It's really going to be interesting to see her go big. And that's all I know about the book. And that's a good thing. And then Laura Vandenberg has a new novel called State of Paradise. And that's out in July. It sounds like an absolute fever dream about someone who's a ghostwriter for a famous thriller author. And then her and her husband return to the house in Florida where she grew up. And then there's a cult her mom is in and a virtual reality device and something about a belly button that keeps getting bigger. I can feel the humidity just looking at this book. Also, Miranda July has a new novel out this next week, which is called All Fours. And it's about an artist who says that she's going to drive across country from, I think, New York to Los Angeles, but instead just leaves her husband and kid and gets off at the first exit on the freeway, I guess, and checks into some sort of nondescript motel to do something else. And then you have to assume, because it's Miranda July, that things are going to get weird. I really loved The First Bad Man, which I, of course, had to look into when it came out. That was 9 years ago that that book came out, if you can believe it. But her voice is just so good on the page. It's somehow both blank and eerie all at once. And then I have this book, The Husbands by Holly Gramazio. And that's about a woman whose attic seems to hold an infinite supply of husbands. I just started reading this book, and it's has this great moment of this woman who, as far as she knows, is single, coming home to a man coming downstairs in what is not quite her flat, saying that he's her husband. And apparently he has all these memories that she doesn't have. And I'm very interested to see how this turns, because the other twist is he goes upstairs and disappears, and then another husband comes down. So these the husbands change themselves out very quickly. So she gets to live all these different sorts of partnerships. And it kind of reminds me of Hillary Leichter's Temporary, or at least that concept does. So I think that's going to be next, after some of these graphic novels. Drew recommended a book, The Wonder State by Sarah Flannery Murphy. And I think I'm going to listen to this too, because it sort of sounds spooky. And the setup seems kind of It-like by Stephen King, where it's five friends returning to the Arkansas Ozarks 15 years after some incident, because they all received a letter that just says, "You promised." It seems to be more enigmatically eerie than what King was doing, and probably more about magic. And so that's really capturing my interest. And of course, high praise from Drew to send it to me. And then I was thinking about rereading a couple of things. I read The Eyes on the Impossible by Dave Eggers and loved it. And that's made me want to go back and reread Ribsy and The Art of Racing in the Rain and Andre Alexei's 15 Dogs sort of all at once, and see all of these dog narration books that I've loved when I encountered them. I want to see if I can find something to extrapolate from dog narrators. And in that same fashion, I've been thinking about this book from a long time ago, Sarah Levine's Treasure Island with 3 exclamation points, and Daniel Handler's We Were Pirates, which I don't think people loved, but I was drawn to it because I have this interest in this sort of someone modern thinking like, I'm going to try to live like a pirate, even though that's a sort of very silly notion to have. And these two books have it. So I kind of want to read both of them together. So I think that's good for an episode, right? How about I end on a couple old recommendations? My first recommendation is to go check out, I hung out with Kate Slotover again over on the Book Club Review, and it's so fun to talk books with Kate. We had a nice chat about what we've been reading, different books than what I've mentioned here, I think, and there'll be a link on the website if you want to just click over to that. And then I just reread Holes by Lewis Sacker. It's an incredible book. It's as good as I remembered it to be, about a guy who is in the wrong place at the wrong time, but maybe cosmically the right place at the right time, when he's sent to a juvenile detention camp focused on digging 5-foot holes in the desert. When I was a kid, I didn't get how Sacker did this magic trick of keeping us in the present while still keeping the story from the past moving. But this time through, I realized he starts every flashback as soon as Stanley starts digging again. So that was a fun thing to realize in a reread of a book. Anyway, go and listen to that chat with Kate Slotover. I will be back in 2 weeks. You can join me on Patreon. We're choosing the next book for the book club soon, or already chose it. We have a lot of fun in the book club. It would be great to have you. Leave a review on iTunes. Hug your loved ones. Kiss your pets. Have a nice drink. Peace out.